So that is probably one of the aspects of this interface that will come about, but how it actually comes about will be given considerable warning. We'll be given some warning. It won't take us absolute by surprise, except for those who are not at all concerned with that, and are essentially, even if they were infused with that energy, would stay put and would not move left or right, and thereby be able to enter into the temple. They'd stay straight on track and never be able to enter.
Interesting.
So that is a kind of simplistic idea of some of what would happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I say, move left to right so they can enter into the temple.
Hmm. So the question is, from what I read in the Urantia book, usually after Christ or somebody of that level, there's the teacher's sons are supposed to come. So right now, either it's the teacher's son or Christ Michael's return, one or the other. Is that pretty well a good way to look at it, or?
Well, the idea what you just said might be slightly in need of clarification, because the teacher sons are already effectively functioning, simply because I'm evidence of that, and in an indirect sense. Their more direct sense would probably accompany the great revealing, which would be an absolute understanding to globally that we are not alone. That our planet is not the only planet of sentient life in the universe. In fact, there's going to be a tremendous amount of proof on that at a particular time. And this time has been appointed, but it's not necessarily the time in which Christ Michael will make his second appearance. In fact, Christ Michael has made many unannounced appearances. His appearances come in many forms here on the planet, and they are mostly in a form which is out of the realm of space-time. So although he interfaces with individuals here on the planet on a one-to-one basis, the big one, of course, is when he does it without a one-to-one basis. Because once you're outside of space-time, there's no worrying about interfacing between individuals one at a time. But in the realm in which we live, this particular revelation will be one in which it's like it's described, every eye shall see him, you know, and through the technologies that we have and through his ability to move about with the masses of celestial, basically a wave, a gigantic wave of UFOs that will around the planet, would be one in which would announce that arrival of that one particular mass sighting event of the Creator Son's arrival here, and it's not going to be small. Right now, we just have visitors, some of them groups, some of them large groups, some of them kind of small, and they've preceded, and they're all part of the preparation, and even they don't know exactly when it will happen. But the Teacher Son's arrival here can take place. I suspect has taken place in some areas where individuals are attuned to their teaching and are receiving teaching right now. And circuits are being built between these individuals and the teachers. And these circuits have to do with their learning circuits, how they learn. And how, I remember kind of wondering, how they assured me that my learning would not end, that I would continue in learning not only the things back here on the planet that can be learned, but things that they have that will be learned remotely, sort of like a remote relearning environment, you know, that being done through their own abilities to project knowledge and insight into the minds of those who have been prepared as fertile ground for their influence. Fertile ground being a mind that is open to their exchange of knowledge, but it's always fertile. But they're already operating as far as the Dainos and their sub teachers and even their students, and I'm being one of them.
So
do you have anything in particular that might be?
Well, I mean, I've got so many questions, to tell you the truth. But now, I'm still a little bit trying to figure out the difference between fusion and, say, what happened with you. When somebody becomes fused, what actually happens? Like, what are we talking about here? Fusion.
Well, let me explain some of the things that can happen on a temporary basis. Let's say mind sharing. It's a type of fusion, but it's temporary. It's an agreed upon interface between minds that are linked, and it essentially share one compartment or space in terms of thought and in terms of knowledge and viewpoint. And in this one space, there is unity, there is discovery, there is intelligence, there is inspiration, there's a lot of things concerning mind that are there. But in terms of fusion, it goes beyond the mind in terms of how the soul will fuse with the adjuster, both having separate interfaces outside. In other words, our soul is probably more connected with us as human beings, our personality, our consciousness, our thought basis, than it is with the adjuster. The adjuster is on the opposite end, as divine, as a divined end, and that across the plane of the soul is able to engage us. But as our physicality, our short term abilities, our senses, and physical attributes, perhaps degenerate through, you know, just being old. And what remains is many things which have been written upon are the tables of our soul, and it is across that. And upon that, that our relation to the adjuster, to divinity, is made. So, as many things as ourselves share with decisions, besides decisions, there are other things like experiences, life experiences, trials, tribulations, you know, joys, happiness, all these things that are shared across with the divine adjuster, they add to the fusion process, so the linking becomes more and more complete. In other words, the entanglement between our personality and divine personality through the arrangement of our life experience becomes more and more and more engaged until there is a point where they become so entangled that they become one. And that point doesn't necessarily mean the fusion flash. Now, this has been described in the Yantra book as far as when fusion takes place. There is this fusion flash. The mortal puts on immortality, and they are no longer here in this realm, of the interesting things that Christ demonstrated, that Christ Michael demonstrated, that in this planet, he demonstrated fusion without the flash. They fully expected it, but it did not happen. Why? Because he had an arrangement which was special, which is more special than they could understand. Normally, such an arrangement would accompany a fusion flash that would be the receiving of what appeared, could be seen perhaps as the dove descending, and this is my beloved son. Well, please, concept right there at that point should have come fusion. But it didn't. Instead, they became a long and engaged experience through his 3.5 years of ministry, in which it was through that that he gave many things away to us, including that level of interoperability. So there are many individuals in this world who have penetrated all the way to near likeness of that interface, which in some other worlds would cause a fusion flash. But here it doesn't happen because of Christ Michael's creativity, an expanded level of experience and reality. And it takes many forms because it's nearly infinite in the amount of forms, because what had happened was the opening upon the tried and true pattern. And the tried and true patterns were, of course, the ways in which all the universe was structured. But because of Christ coming into a fallen planet under which rebellion had taken place, but under which rebellion freedom had generated a different species of sentient being, able to express things more than single-mindedly, but one in which was able to straddle both and yet operate single-mindedly. This is one of the most powerful things that happened. Essentially, you have a free agent operating as an absolute extension of the divine will. Now, how does that happen? The divine will would be like remote control, but not really. It's not that at all. It's the divine will is operating as an co-experiencer of a free will, yet gaining all of this with that free agent and sharing back the, you know, essential will, and the expression comes out unique. And this is perhaps what is one of our great, you know, wonders, because when I was in, one of the things I was amazed at in the New Jerusalem was the repetitivity of, you know, every, you know, there's, okay, there's my guide, and everybody looks like him. He's the same little guy, big head. Look at their faces, they all look alike. Most of them act alike, and, you know, some of them they look alike, but their personalities are different. But, you know, it's not like we have here with the diversity that we have here. Mm-hmm. And this diversity is probably one of the greatest blessings that we have in terms of our planetary reality. And the idea we are one people, the human race, but have many colors. One people, the human race, but have many languages. Yet one people, the human race, have even many minds, yet are able to share the one mind. And this is the greater awakening, where there's a practiced many, or becoming from the few to the many, who share that one mind, the mind of and the will of God, but in expressing it, express that one mind through their personal mind in many different ways. And that brings out the richness and the beauty of culture society beyond the tried and true method that has built the universe up to now. So we are actually looking for this concept of going through a fuller education, and then there will be, as said in scripture, a new heaven and a new earth, because our contribution to that would have allowed for this new heaven and a new earth. And that freeness of it, and that, so that fusion concept, or the fusion reality, at one time was a limiting factor, and that reason it may hold off to a later time in terms of people's lives, in their relationship, soul relationship, adjust the soul relationship, may require not so much of a fusion fact. That's why sun seized were many human mortals that passed through the Morancha transition world, right into the point of actual contribution in terms of being within the realm of inner circle of the 420 elders, things like that. There are many who passed through and passed over the realms of training because of the richness that has been gained through this engagement between divinity and ourselves in the realm of expression, which is a little more free than the rest of the universe, simply because of the domain in which we live. Yes, there's danger here. Yes, there's problems here. Yes, there's instability, but in this instability comes the expression when united with divinity is quite glorious, and when apart from divinity, of course, can fall and fail, and usually will. But this is where we are right now, and that's why many times the fusion flash does not happen, although it has been demonstrated before. At times it's even been shown to happen. Many of those who meditate and basically are secluded out in one part of the world, they make no extra contribution, and it does happen. They take it there. Gone, but many more are at that same point, similar to how Christ Michael was in his earthly ministry, and did not make that flash, and did not have that for the contribution's sake. And for that contribution's sake, he had that 3.5 years of special contribution into our planet. Many people have the rest of their life, you might say. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so was Enoch from the Bible, was that a sun-seized case there?
It was similar to, not necessarily sun-seized, it could have been
or was that a flash?
By lower agents, maybe one in which he functioned along with some other guardian of destiny that decided that he would be a good educator of what human beings are about, to teach them, because there's a lot that they are interested in but they don't know about in terms of how and why. In fact Riley, not Riley, but Tan was interested, both Riley and all of them, as many people as he could gain a little bit more understanding. He was not looking for leaders, he's looking for real people, would walk around and really, live a life to gain insight on what makes us so special. So Enoch, in a sense, could have been sun-seized, but I cannot say for sure.
Interesting. Well, now, just wanted to switch gears for a second. When you were on the sphere, The Rancho book talks about like a three gas mixture of I guess it's the air quality or whatever the gas air consists of. Is that itself Marancho?
The air quality,
Mm-hmm.
the idea of three gas mixture, oxygen, carbon dioxide being our primary here, but of course we have more gases than that in our atmosphere, nitrogen, some of the neutral stuff in there, but basically for respiration and life, we look at oxygen and carbon dioxide. A third gas, a Marancho gas, is something that is there. And it is not always in any, it can be spotted sometimes.
Moses, when he came down from the mountain, they were saying that he had a particular glow about him as well.
Physically touch. Jerusalem, I believe, was barefoot most of the time. It seemed that way. So I was always touching that ground. I guess it creates a circuit for something or prevents problems.
That's another hour gone by, Michael. Are there any parting thoughts?
Well, there's, hopefully I got across some of the things that I was hoped to have been given. And the first one, of course, was why the temples were laid out. There was a message in there, a big message,
mm-hmm.
in terms of a shift. In another temple, there were like layers or circles, and these were like seven layers added to our three, give 11 dimensions. Those were also etched into the architecture of many of the temples of old. So I found them all over the world. And like the column structure also speaks of the branch of shift, dimension of shift. So this is what we're looking for. So anyway, that's some of the story.
Well, thank you again, Michael, for your spending the time. And we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.